Good morning, everyone. Welcome to EMP. Today's Bible sharing is from John 6, 6 to 15. John 6, 6 to 15. So let's have a read. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he also told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you this morning, Lord God, with our 5 loaves and 2 fish of energy, of mental capacity, of energy, Lord God, and we just want to consecrate it before your feet. We pray that you will strengthen us, you will help us, pray for Holy Spirit to help us understand your word that's going to encourage us and give us the strength to do what we need to do today. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so this famous passage of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves of 2 bread, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, well, the obvious takeaway is that Jesus is the shepherd who feeds and takes care of his sheep, and that nothing is impossible with him. However, as I dug deeper into these verses, I realized that there's actually so much more to be learned. In particular, we are able to have a glimpse on God's character, how he approaches things, and how we can respond to that. So let's dive in. So firstly, verses 5 and 6, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Well, Philip noticed that there is a problem. There are 5,000 people, and they're in the middle of nowhere. In Matthew 14:15, that also recorded the story, says that this is a desolate place. So there are no shops or market nearby to get food. And it's also getting a bit dark. So if the people are not sent away at that moment, they're probably going to miss the opportunity to buy food. Jesus then poses the question to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Well, I think this is a somewhat leading question, because the problem to be solved isn't so much to buy bread, but actually to feed the people. However, it says in verse 6 that Jesus already knew what he's going to do, and his plan doesn't actually involve buying any bread. So just to pause and think about it here, often when we are faced with a trial or a test or something that seems impossible, we forget that Jesus himself knew what he is to do. We forget the standard Sunday school answer, which is the answer is always Jesus. But we forget because we don't think he can. We limit God's creativity and his power. We often think in very simple terms. Usually it's either 1, God, please take the problem away, or 2, God, you rain down the solution from heaven and have it miraculously appear at my doorstep. And I feel like this is exactly the direction that Philip was going. So in verse 7, Philip then answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. Philip immediately sees that there are 2 problems. 1, they don't have enough money to buy food. 200 denarii is about 6 months' worth of wage. And two, even if they did have this money, each person wouldn't have enough to eat. So by limiting God's ability, Philip immediately thinks that, oh, money can solve the problem. He immediately went into calculating, well, how much money it would take to carry God's work in a rather small way, what he would need to get the bare minimum, so little that each person won't even be fed enough. So don't we often think in this way when we are faced with a problem? We immediately think how much it would take to solve a problem. We make calculations and see what we would need to get the bare minimum, and we often, like Philip, leave out Jesus in our calculations. We often overlook what the real problem is. Philip saw it as a monetary problem, but the actual problem is people being fed. So let's move on to verse 8. So verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Well, since they don't have enough money to buy food, Andrew then started to look at what food they might actually already have with the crowd, and he found a boy with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Obviously, there's a problem with that too, because clearly it's not enough. So just a side commentary, we are told that the loaves are made of barley, which is regarded as a simple food. In those times, wheat is the more expensive food ingredient, and barley is a cheaper one. Interestingly, in Revelation 6:6, it says that the value of barley is only a third of the price of wheat. So this probably suggests that the boy came from a rather poor family. Yet Jesus didn't despise these meager portions and low quality of the food. In Matthew 14:16, he said, "Bring them here to me." After he said that, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. The next thing Jesus did then was to have the people just to sit down on the grass. He didn't tell the people to just run around, do this, do that. Maybe they should scout more to see if there were more people who brought their packed lunches so that there could be more food that could be shared out. No, he told them to sit down on the comfy grass and be still. This reminds me of when Jesus was in that storm, but he was sound asleep in Mark 4, and that he rebuked his disciples when they were freaking out and said, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" One can also see that he's fulfilling the role as a loving shepherd in Psalm 23:1-2. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul." So he literally was sitting them down on green pastures. So the next thing that happened was that Jesus then took the loaves. So the ownership of the loaves transferred from the boy to him. It has now completely belongs to Jesus. So when something is turned over to Jesus' possession, that thing has immense potential for growth. When they were in the boy's hands, they were merely 5 loaves and 2 fish. But when they were turned over to Jesus, it could be something else completely. Its ability to accomplish is suddenly infinitely expanded. Then he took the meager portions and he gave thanks. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's recorded that he first looked to heaven and then he gave thanks. Even though they were abysmally lacking, he didn't take it for granted. Instead, he realized all provisions came from above, so that's where he directed his gaze first, and then he thanked the Father for it. I think when we are faced with a lack of something, whether it's finances, opportunities, time, or resources, this could be the formula on how we respond. We recognize that Jesus is the good shepherd, and he takes care of us, so we can lie down on green pastures because he's trustworthy and faithful. Then instead of affixing our gaze to what is around us, we look to heaven and thank God for what we have. Even the meager portions that we have now comes from him. After Jesus gave thanks, he started distributing them. Again, in the other Gospels, it says that Jesus broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. As he broke the loaves, the food continued to multiply. This is God's upside-down kingdom, that the more you give away, the more he will add on to you, for your sustenance and for the provision of other people. However, the moment the distribution stopped, the multiplication also stopped. It's interesting to note that he didn't magically create however many loaves and fish that were needed and gave that out, but he chose to multiply as he broke the bread, so people didn't actually know how much they're getting. They can't actually see how much there is, and then in their minds think, oh, there should be enough to go around, so don't worry. They need to continue to look to Jesus for their next portion. Isn't that how God normally works? He doesn't give you the full picture yet, but he usually tells you the next step first, and you continue to look to him for the next one until you've reached the end. It is then recorded in the other Gospels that after Jesus broke the bread, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. He used his disciples in the process of this miracle. He could have miraculously, deposited the bread and fish into people's pockets, and he doesn't really need the disciples to help him. But he chose to involve them so that they can also participate in this miracle, so that their faith might increase as well. Isn't that the case when we serve on behalf of Jesus, that we simply distribute portions of love and service that come from him? So we're merely there to pass it out, but none actually comes directly from us. Another thing to note is that he distributed to those who were seated in verse 11. Those who obeyed, i.e. those who obeyed his instructions, became still and looked to his provision. It was those people who received the food from him. And people didn't just get the bare minimum or just enough. They ate till they were completely full and cannot eat anymore, because we're told that there are 12 baskets of leftover. So our God is not just a God who provides what we think we need, but he provides above and beyond. That's why when we understand and know that he is a good, good father and that he knows how to give good gifts, we can simply sit on the green pastures, look up to heaven, thank him, and he provides. That's why we don't need him to show us in advance, look, I'll magically create 10,000 loaves, so each person gets 2 loaves, so there's enough to go around and you'll get your fill, etc. We can obey his instructions and trust that he is our good shepherd. However, whilst God is extravagant, he is also not wasteful. That's why he ordered his disciples to gather up the fragments, specifically so that nothing may be lost. Moving on to verses 14 and 15. So then when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew himself to the mountains. The result was that Jesus was exalted and glorified, and people recognized that he is the prophet, so much so that they want to make him king. But Jesus rejected this. He knew this is not his time, and this world is not his kingdom. His time will come when he will be king of kings, lord of lords, but it wasn't then. So he withdrew himself. So let's pause a moment to think about how we respond when the world wants to make us kings, when the promotion comes, when the credit is due to us, and we mistakenly take it all in rather than deflect it back to God, who was the one who enabled us to do all things. So as I wrap it up, so there are many lessons about God's character to be gleaned from the story. I just want to summarize and conclude by thinking about the impact this had on the boy who gave his 5 loaves and 2 fish. Firstly, he's just a nobody, as his name wasn't even mentioned in the Bible. He came from a poor family who could only offer 5 loaves and 2 fish made of barley and not wheat. But he was at the right place at the right time, and he was willing to offer what he had, and Jesus took it. The boy was suddenly plucked out of obscurity into prominence, so much so that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all recorded him. But it's not because he promoted or advertised himself, but he was founded by Andrew. Then he was willing. He willingly gave all of it to Jesus, even though it wasn't great quality food and clearly the quantity wasn't enough. He gave it all to Jesus and he didn't reserve anything for himself. The result was that because of Jesus' multiplication, he could actually eat more than his 5 loaves and 2 fish that he originally had, and 4,999 other people were fed as well. So as we go into a time of worship, perhaps we could all reflect on the following. If God is calling you to give something, whether it's time, money, talent, or resources, we don't need to feel ashamed that our 5 loaves and 2 fish are insufficient. He doesn't despise it, because the power lies not in the thing that he's asking us to give him, but it lies with him. We just need to be willing to do it. We need to get over ourselves and lift our eyes to heaven, just like Jesus did, for God is not limited by our meager resources. When ownership is transferred into his hands, immense potential for growth will be unlocked. I quote from Charles Spurgeon, "Do not think highly of yourself. Your cakes are only 5, fish only 2, and made with poor barley, but think much of Christ." Next is that we don't need to worry that if we give something away, then we have less of it. In fact, according to God's economy, things are multiplied as we break and distribute it. Matthew 10:39 says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." How does this work? I don't know. Just like how he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 bread is beyond human logic. Perhaps in light of the recent Taipo fires, you feel hopeless, overwhelmed, and sad all at the same time. Maybe God is calling you to serve one way or another, but whatever it is he's calling you to give or do, it's like the 5 loaves and 2 fish for the 5,000 people. It feels immensely lacking and meager. But it's okay. We can willingly give it to Jesus, and he will handle the rest of it. For he is the good shepherd who feeds his sheep. Now let's enter into a time of worship now.
Jesus, beautiful Savior, God of all majesty, risen King, Lamb of God, holy and righteous, blessed Redeemer, bright morning star. All the heavens shout your praise, all creations bow to worship you. How wonderful, how beautiful, name above every name exalted. Jesus, your name above every name, Jesus. Jesus, wonderful Savior, God of all majesty, risen. I will sing.
Yes, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I just want to thank you, Father, for involving us in your ministry, even though our abilities are limited and that we often fail you. But Lord, we look to you and your almightiness, that you are enough, that you will cover all things, Lord. And yeah, we just need to rest in you and partner with you and and just to obey you and to abide. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.